Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. In order to keep bringing you the very best in classic radio comedy, we are implementing a patron support program. Your monthly support will keep us on the air by allowing us to pay the expenses associated with a growing podcast, to replace outdated equipment, and to expand the podcast to 5 days a week. We have four levels at which you may support the podcast. The first level is the vaudeville level. It's $3 a month. You get a thank you on the show and access to the bonus videos. At $5 a month, you become a Broadway star. You get a thank you on the show, access to the bonus videos, and a really nice vinyl logo sticker. At the $10 level, you become part of the Hollywood A-list. You get a thank you on the show, access to bonus videos, the vinyl logo sticker, and your name and picture on the website's Walk of Fame. And the last level is the co-executive producer level. That's $20 a month. You get a thank you on the show, access to the bonus videos, the vinyl logo sticker, your name and picture on the website's Walk of Fame, 10 business cards with your name as co-executive producer of the podcast. You also get to vote on which shows will be next, and you can read a short message or greeting on the show. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com, and click on the Become a Patron button on the right side of the screen. Thank you for your support. Here is Lucille Ball and Richard Denning in My Favorite Husband. This is episode number 108, which is entitled Marrying Off Peggy Martin. It originally aired on December 2nd, 1950.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, the gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. And now let's look in on the Coopers. It's afternoon, and we find Liz Cooper entertaining her Tuesday Bridge Club. Throughout the room, there's a quiet concentration on the cards.
Okay, Liz. One club.
Say, did you get a load of Peggy Martin's dress at the dance Saturday?
One heart. Yeah, what there was of it. One note trump. How do you suppose she held it up anyway?
Two diamonds, who knows? All I know is every man in the room was waiting for her to exhale.
Don't I know it? Rudolph's eyes bugged out like a bullfrog with an overactive thyroid.
And the way all her husbands fought to dance with her, it was sickening. Well, at least my chuck didn't ask her to dance.
How could he when you tied his coat to the back of the chair?
Well, it kept him from making a fool of himself over her. Like some other people's husbands I could name.
Marge, are you referring to George?
Well, if the shoe fits.
George did not dance with her once.
No, but he sure intermissioned her on the terrace.
Now, listen, Marge.
Girls, are we going to play bridge or not?
But, Iris, don't you hear what they're saying?
I hear them, but it's getting to have an awfully familiar ring. Every time we play bridge, we discuss the same thing.
Peggy Martin. But why not? She's the biggest female wolf in town.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Every time there's a club dance, all the men are hanging around Peggy Martin. What's she got that we haven't got?
No husband.
Hey, wait a minute. That's it. That's the clue to the situation.
Sure.
If she were married, they wouldn't give her a tumble.
Exactly. So there's only one thing to do. We'll have to find her a husband.
Well, I'll make the sacrifice and give her Rudolph.
Yeah, well, thanks anyway, Iris, but Rudolph isn't
Don't
exactly...
go on, girl. I know what you mean.
Well, I don't know where we'll find him, but for self-preservation, it's up to all of us to find Peggy Martin a man of her own.
you are.
Hi, George. How's my little husband tonight?
Liz, I hope you don't mind. I brought someone home to dinner.
George Cooper.
He'll hear you. He's in the living room.
Why didn't you call?
Well, I didn't have time. Look, he's an important client of the bank, and he's thinking of building a women's clothing factory here in town.
But we're having stew, Katie, made from leftovers.
Oh, listen, any home-cooked meal would taste good to him. He's a traveling man and a bachelor, and he eats out all the time.
Well, I'm not going to serve stew to a bachelor?
Yes.
Is he by any chance tall, dark, and handsome?
He is, and he's loaded.
Oh!
And I recognize that I want to play Cupid look in your eye.
Ooh.
Just keep your grubby little paws off him, Liz. No matchmaking.
But he sounds like such a goodie.
No matchmaking.
Oh.
Why is it that every married woman makes it her personal business to marry off every single man?
Whatever do you mean?
You know what I mean. Look, if a man is lucky enough to still be single...
What?
Well, I didn't mean it that way. You know how I feel about marriage.
Well, that's better.
Yeah, if a man is smart enough to
what?
Still be... Well, there must be some word to describe what I mean.
The word is stupid.
All right. If a guy is stupid enough to be single, leave him be. After all, ignorance is bliss.
I don't like the way that sounds.
Well, anyway, you leave him alone. Now, come on, I'll introduce you.
Oh, all right. But he sounded just right for Peggy Martin.
You let Peggy Martin get her own husband.
I wouldn't mind if she got her own. She's getting everybody else's.
Oh, sorry to keep you waiting, Herb. This is my wife, Liz.
Liz, this is Herb Paxton.
How do you do, Mrs. Cooper?
How do you do... Ooh, Mr. Paxton.
Well, I've just been admiring your home, Cooper.
Thank you.
It just goes to show what can happen when you have a woman around the house.
Yes.
Yes. We have one of the best maids in town.
George.
Mrs. Cooper, I hope you won't mind having an unexpected guest for dinner like this.
Mind? Of course not. What's the wife for?
That's a good question.
On your next trip to town, Mr. Paxton, why don't you bring your wife along?
Liz? That's all right, Cooper. I don't have a wife.
Oh, what a pity. A handsome, charming man like you.
Paxton, I certainly hope you see your way clear to building your factory here in town.
Well, everything so far looks very favorable.
Mr. Paxton, could I ask you something?
Why, certainly.
Liz, we're trying to talk business.
Oh, this is about business, George.
Well, okay.
If you should build your plant in this town, Mr. Paxton, that's the business part of it, George. Did it ever occur to you how lonely it would be to come home after a hard day's work and not have anyone waiting at the door for you?
Oh, I don't have to worry about that.
Oh, you don't?
No. I've got a wonderful little Cocker Spaniel.
Well, let's go into dinner. Hello?
Iris?
Yes?
Put away your harpoon. I've located your fish.
Ooh, who is it, girl?
A business friend. A business friend of George's. He's luscious and loaded.
Did you arrange for him to meet Peggy Martin?
Not yet. George wouldn't let me. But I did find out he lives at the Sheridan Falls Hotel, and I'm going down there and take care of that little matter right now.
Oh, Liz, you'll get the Bridge Club Achievement Award for this.
But I don't want any award. If you'd see him, you'd realize this is fun.
Well, if you're too busy, Liz, I could take some of my valuable time to get out.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm making this sacrifice.
Well, let me know what happens, girl.
Yeah, I'll buzz you the minute I get back and give you the scoop.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Paxton.
Well, hello, Mrs. Cooper. come in.
I bet you never expected to see me here, did you?
Well, not so soon, anyway. Sit down.
So soon? Thank you, Mr. Paxton.
Yes, Mrs. Cooper?
I got to thinking that here you are in a strange town and you don't know a soul. And...
Oh, you're so right, Liz.
Liz? Mr. Paxton, I thought that what you need is an attractive woman to show you around the town. Would you like that?
You know I would. What about your husband?
Oh, you don't understand.
Oh, I think I do.
I was talking about someone else.
Sure, sure.
I mean it. I want you to meet one of the girls in our bridge club.
Oh, you don't need to pretend with me, Liz.
Pretend? Now, look.
Oh, I read that look in your eye last night when you kept trying to get your husband out of the room so you could talk to me.
I can't. Now, you stand back there. Mr. Paxton, I did want to talk to you, but it was about this other girl, Peggy Martin. I think you two should know each other.
Peggy Martin.
Yes, yes, you believe me, don't you?
Of course.
Oh.
When do you want to meet me, Peggy?
Now, Mr. Paxton.
Oh, you can't fight things like this, Liz. This was meant to be.
Please, stay away from me. You stay on that side of the table. I only want you to meet Peggy Martin.
Be honest, Liz.
If you don't believe it, be on the corner of Main and Elm at 5 o'clock tonight.
Wow. All right. That's a date.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paxton.
Au revoir. What?
On the corner of Main and Elm. I just called Peggy Martin and she's out of town.
Oh. What are you going to do?
I called him back, but I can't get in touch with him. I'll have to go down to Main and Elm myself and tell him it's all off.
Well, Miss Paxton, I guess that's all the business we have to do today.
Yeah. Just in time, too. I have to pick up my date in 15 minutes.
A date? One of our local girls?
Yeah.
Who is she?
Well...
Oh, come on, come on. I know everyone in town. Who's the lucky girl?
Well, I guess I can trust you not to blab it around. She's married.
Oh, no.
She came right down to my hotel and begged me to go out with her.
Oh, you devil, you.
She kept telling me she's really making the date for a friend.
Oh, that old dodge.
Well, I gotta get going. Which way is Main and Elm?
Three blocks down and two blocks to the left. Paxton, I don't suppose you'd want to tell me her name, would you?
Atterbury.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked.
Well, I better be going now. I don't want to keep the little lady waiting. Goodbye.
Bye. Oh, this is too good to keep. George, boy.
Yes, Mr. Atterbury.
George. Paxton just left here, boy. She's got a date.
What about it?
She's married.
No kidding. Who is it?
I didn't ask him.
Oh. Of course not.
Come on, boy.
Come on where?
We're going to take a little ride past the corner of Main and Elm and see who it is.
Isn't that being a little bit sneaky?
Sneaky? It's despicable. Get your hat. Let's go.
There's Paxton. He's talking to her. Oh, she's the one, all right. Ride slowly, George.
Yeah, I am.
Now, she's turning around.
Yeah, now we can see her.
Now we... Oh, God! Liz! George, you idiot. You've crumpled your fender.
Oh, that's nothing to what I'm going to do to Paxton. Oh, that big home wrecker.
Oh, he was such a good account, too. Well, go ahead, boy.
Doing here?
I'll talk to you later.
Well, Mr. Atterbury.
Shame.
All right, Paxton, put up your juke.
What?
George!
Now listen, Cooper, let's not be hasty.
Yeah, I'll try this for size.
Nice work, boy. You really crumpled his fender.
George, and I swear it.
Well.
You believe me, don't you?
Well, I guess it does make sense.
And George, I was wrong for trying to be a matchmaker.
Well, honey, I'm sorry I died.
Well, I'm kind of glad you're still jealous. You know, you're cute when you're jealous. Sparks come out of your eyes.
Thanks.
Kiss me, George.
I'll bet Paxton can't kiss like that.
I should say he can't. I mean, I'll bet he can't. Nobody can.
Ah, well, that's better. And about this playing Cupid, I want your solemn promise to keep your cute little nose out of other people's business.
I promise. I'm retiring my nose from active poking.
Good. Come on, give me a kiss.
Mm-hmm. George Cooper, you're a big stinker.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Well, it's so much fun making up with you. I'm trying to start another fight. Put up your juice. Iris, I told you this morning, I promised George I'd have nothing more to do with getting Paxton married.
I know. What are you going to call him?
I'm not. Iris, I'm through with meddling. It gets me into too much trouble.
Oh, you Benedict Arnold. You're ratting out at the crucial moment.
What do you mean?
I just saw Peggy Martin at the beauty parlor. She's seen Paxton and she's dying to meet him. Black eye and all.
Well, there's nothing I can do about it. My nose is tied behind me.
No. I told Peggy to be at the hotel at 5 o'clock, and you're the only one who knows Paxton.
I'm sorry, Iris. I won't break my word.
Well, you don't have to.
What do you mean?
Just go along and introduce him to me. I'll take care of the rest.
Well...
You won't be breaking your word.
Well, all I'll say is Mr. Paxton meet Mrs. Atterbury, and not another word. Here's Paxton's room, 459. Now, remember, Iris, when we go in there, it's your show. I'm just the MC.
Well, don't worry, girl. Leave everything to me.
Hello, Mr. Paxton.
Mrs. Cooper.
Mr. Paxton! Let us in!
Go away, Mrs. Cooper, please. I only have one eye left.
Paxton, this has nothing to do with me. I want to introduce you to my friend, Mrs. Atterbury.
I saw her. Never mind.
Please, she has something important to say to you.
Mr. Paxton, this has all been a mistake. Ooh, he's a dreamboat.
Iris.
Mr. Paxton, all Liz wanted you to do was to have a date with Peggy Martin. Honestly.
You mean that was on the level?
Yes, I was just down there to tell you she couldn't make it that night.
Ah. Well, I certainly owe you an apology, Mrs. Cooper.
Well, I guess it did look strange.
Peggy's down in the lobby now waiting for you. She's a doll.
Well, I guess the least I can do is go down and meet her.
Attaboy, Dreamboat. She's wearing a red carnation.
Okay. See, I was just unpacking a whole new line of negligee samples. Take a look, see how you like them.
Oh, swell.
You see anything that fits here, you can have it wholesale. I'll be right back.
Well, don't hurry. I want to try on every one of these.
Okay.
Oh, Iris, look at this one. Black chiffon trimmed in lace.
Yeah. And look at this. Pink silk with a marabou trim.
Ooh.
Look, I'll go in the bedroom and try these on, and you stay in here.
Okay. Iris?
What?
The way I see it, everybody wins. We get rid of Peggy Martin. Peggy gets Dreamboat. The bank gets the plant's business. Sheridan Falls gets the plan, and we get our clothes wholesale for the rest of our lives.
George, I hope you don't mind my insisting you come down here to the hotel and apologize to Paxton.
No, I wanted to come over anyway. I'm really pretty ashamed of the way I jumped to conclusions.
Here's his room, 459.
Well, why don't you knock?
Well, I wonder if we're not being a bit indiscreet, George.
What do you mean?
Well, after all, Paxton is a gay, carefree bachelor. He may not be alone.
Well, shall we go back to the lobby and call?
Oh, no, I guess it's all right.
Yes?
Mr. Paxton, I broke it!
Liz, what are you doing here? And in that outfit?
Now, George, before you get mad, I want you to know I can get this wholesale.
Well, that's nice to know.
Temper.
Liz, is that Dreamboat? Tell him not to come into the bedroom.
I'm all right now. It's all Rudolph. What are you doing here?
For shame!
Huh?
How can you do this, Lotus Bug?
Temper, Mr. Atterbury, temper.
Oh, shut up!
Just give us a chance to explain. We came down here...
We don't need any explanation, please. You, here, in a negligee. Oh, you must be out of your mind.
Iris, you, here, in a negligee. He must be out of his mind.
Tell me the truth, Liz. I can take it.
I introduced Paxton to Iris so she could get him a date with Peggy Martin, and I wouldn't break my word to you.
A likely story.
He's downstairs with her now.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, sure.
Now, let's have the truth.
What?
The real truth.
Now, just a minute.
Wait a minute, Iris. All right, George. If that's what you want, that's what we'll give you.
Well, it's about time.
Proceed.
Well, for a long time now, Iris and I have been getting sick and tired of having you two for husbands.
What?
What?
Yeah! What fun is it for two gorgeous creatures like us being tied to two fat old fogies like you?
Old? Fat? Now, just a minute.
Oh, go on, Liz. I can't wait to see what happens.
Well, when Paxton came into town, we realized here was the chance of a lifetime. So we threw a few things in a suitcase and came down here for our big, wild fling.
Yes? Yeah!
And later on this evening, the three of us are going to fly to Mexico City.
Mexico City?
Atterbury.
Oh. Well, will you tell your wife and Cooper's wife I won't be back for a while? I'm going to have a drink with Peggy Martin. Say, she's all right.
Oh, yeah. Well, goodbye. Well, George, boy, that was Paxton. I guess the girls were telling the truth the first time.
Oh, now you believe it.
Yes. Get ready. We'll take you home.
Just a minute. For being such doubting Thomases, I think you should buy us these negligees.
Well, how much are they?
$129.50. $137.50.
Just a minute. George, can you come here? George.
Yeah, I think so. Well, goodbye, girls.
Goodbye.
Yes, we talked it over, and it's cheaper to let you go to Mexico City.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Bob Lamond speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Monday for another episode of My Favorite Husband and check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Pepsodent Show starring Bob Hope. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com. Click on the Become a Patron button on the right-hand side of the screen and support our show. Until next time, in the words of Dr. Peter Venkman, played by Bill Murray in Ghostbusters, I don't have to take this abuse from you. I've got hundreds of people dying to abuse me.